the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
One more time.
Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come thanking you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thanking you, Lord, for your mercy and grace upon us day by day, for your hand of protection. Lord, for the leading of the Holy Spirit, Lord, upon the body of Jesus Christ around the world. We thank you, Lord, for every promise that you've given us, Lord. And to see your word and every promise vindicated in this day and in this hour. Father, we just ask you to just continue to bless Brother Richard, Lord, to give healing and strength, and to bless Sister Edith, Lord, and strengthen her also, knowing that it's strenuous there, Lord, in those situations. We just ask your blessings upon each one now. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now we just good to see each one. We know we're missing several tonight, and Sister Rhonda is there with Sister Edith. They're listening in. Brother Richard's awake, then he'll be listening in also. And so we thank the Lord for being with them there, and he's doing good. At first they just really let him sleep a lot because he was struggling so much. And he was moving and trying to get up and different things. And so he was pulling everything out. He was pulling his IV out. He was pulling, creating kind of a havoc there. And so they sedated him for a couple of days. He was waking up, but he just was kind of out of it the whole time. And so finally he got it together and started eating again. And trying to work with him now. Today they put him in a room and they're starting to do some therapy. And so that's a great progress. And we thank God for that. He's still creating a little bit of havoc. He wants to get up. And he is putting everything he has into it to get up. But one side won't do anything. On the other side, he's straining and struggling and trying to pull himself up. So they come in, they fix him up, they pull him up in the bed. It takes, you know, takes 2 to 4 people, and they have a way to pick him up and move him up in the bed and then get him all comfortable and everything. And then Brother Richard starts pulling on that bar, trying to lift himself up. And as he's pulling himself up, he's sliding down in the bed. And so he gets right back where he was at. He'll hook his leg over under the bed, and then he'll pull again, and he almost pulls himself up. And so but he can't, because this whole side is just laying there dormant. It's not moving. And so, but they're working with him now and trying to get it to move. So it's really hard. It's really hard on him. They get him working, and I think he's going to go fast, because he wants out of there so bad. And so he's really willing to put the effort into it. And so it makes it hard on Sister Rita too. She's telling him to rest, slow down, be still, don't strain, don't struggle. And he's just pulling harder, trying to sit up. And so he's really working. And so pray for them both. Just continue to pray for them. And we appreciate the ones that have been able to go up and spend time. And If you haven't been able to, and there's still, it's going to be the therapy, everything is still a lot of time. He's going to be there for a while. And so just, there's been a good many people in, and so we really appreciate that. But she'll still be appreciating some for you to drop by sometime as time goes on, because sometime, unless God just raises him up, he'll be there for a while in the rehab and getting his right side to working again. And so also the speech and everything together, it's a real hard time. So now we tried to tell you a little bit about the trip to Canada on Sunday, and I don't know, the message just went everywhere, and I didn't have it planned. So, but one thing I meant to say that I didn't say, and that was the girls, Chico, they asked me, and even Brother Isaac and those in Edmonton, they asked me to give their greetings to you. And so I wanted to do that. I did some outside after service, but I had meant to do it from the pulpit, and just appreciate everyone. And I took your greetings there. So they want to say they appreciate you and they miss you. And every once in a while they get to talk to you on the phone, and they really enjoy it so much. And so if you ever have a minute, you can just give them a call and have some fellowship with them on the phone. And, they're like you. The Kenyans, that when they find somebody to talk to in Swahili or Kikuyu, they feel like they're at home. And so Sunday, my last Sunday there, you sung the Swahili song. I'm telling you, the four of them in unison, the volume doubled. So they were singing all the way through, all of the song they're singing. When they sung the Swahili song, they momentarily traveled back to Kenya, and they were just at home, and they were just singing loud and happy, and it was so nice. I was enjoying it, because I know it was sweet. It was sweet to them. So we need to keep that up. Amen. And so we thank God. So now I'm going to go back into 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to pick up where we left off there in chapter 12 and verse 12. I want to read a little bit, talking about the body. Tonight, I just took the title of "The Body is Not One Member," but the quotes may be a little bit scattered from that, because I'm going to touch on a little bit on the denominations and that body. We know that God has a bride. We know Satan has a bride. And we know what was happening through the church ages. There was a falling away, and we know that as it was coming back, that Satan was right there to deceive in that reformation. Amen. And that restoring. Satan was right there in that, and so he all the time was building his confederation of churches. He was building his the denominations and all of those things. So. God has a body, and Satan has his groups that are out there. So let's just read in verse 12, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Amen. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." See? Now he keeps saying over and over, it's one body, one body, one body. See? "For the body is not one member, but many." Amen. So it's only one body, it's one Spirit, but it is a many-membered body. Amen. It's a many-membered body. And so that part of the body today that has come forth, and we know the body's complete now. We know the head has been joined to the body. But so as that body was building, in every age was another part coming that was coming on and that was being made manifest. Amen. And so one part couldn't reject another part. And that's why Brother Branham said the life continued on. So The seed could not reject this new message coming on, and this new message that was coming on was part of the body. Amen. It was part of the body because it's a word body. And so more of the word was coming now. So it was Christ. It was Christ coming, and Christ was being manifested in that part of the body for that age. That was the life in that age that was being quickened and coming forth. And so the beauty of it is we know today it's the fullness of the whole thing, and Christ joining himself to that word body. Amen. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, and I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And I thought, this is interesting that he's saying it like he's saying it. And I don't know why, but my mind went straight to the foolishness of this day. Because this would be foolishness if you were to say that. If your hand said, I'm not part of the body. See? And that's like the people today trying to say that there's something different than what they are. Like a woman saying she's a man, or a woman saying she's an animal. She's a dog or she's a cat. See? And Brother Branham said that he would turn them, when they reject the word, he would turn them over.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says he would turn them over to a reprobate spirit.
Yes, sir.
And a reprobate spirit is defined as one that would rather believe a lie,
yes, sir,
than believe the truth.
Yes, sir.
And so if you ever see, and I'm not encouraging to waste too much time with this, but you see some of these interviews where they're interviewing these people, mm-hmm, that think they're different things other than what they are, and thinks there's hundreds or thousands of genders when there's only two.
Right.
And they're interviewing them and they're asking them the questions. Some of them will just go right on in that ridiculousness, and some of them will just cut them off,
yeah,
because they know how stupid it is,
yes,
and how foolish what they're saying really is. But yet, in that lie, they're not going to deny the lie.
Right.
They continue right in the lie.
Yes, sir.
And that is just amazing.
Right.
It's just amazing. We've seen so much in this age. And so, as we come up in the age and how things got worse and worse and worse, and I can remember, way back, maybe in the 70s, and when reading what the prophet was saying, he was saying in the 60s that they, I want to say not the 70s, but in the 80s, in the 80s. And he's talking about in the 60s where that homosexuality was growing. I believe he said in LA or California, like 30 to 40%. Those numbers sound right to you? 30 to 40%. He said the increase in homosexuality in the 60s. Okay, but in the 60s, as a kid, and in the 70s, you didn't see it. It was very, very rare for you to see somebody who openly advertised being homosexual. And so, but there were just a few. When you seen them, I remember one in high school. We were, when we went to Jacksonville, Florida, from Chiefland, where we live, we were going for the masonry contest that we were in for VICA, and so we were there. And so we were in Jacksonville. We're in this big city. We're just farm boys, country people, and we've come to the city. Big Jacksonville, Florida, was really big in those days. It's still big, but in those days, that was really big to us. And so we went out at night, we're walking down the street, and this guy comes by, and there's no doubt, he's one of them that, it just, his looks advertises what he is. And so, and I had never seen it. I'd never seen it like that. And it just stuck in my mind. And so, but now at some time in the 90s, they started coming out of the closet, and it started becoming so open and so known. And then into the 2000s, and it wasn't a matter of being accepted because People just overlooked it. They just let it go. They could do whatever they wanted to do. The problem was, it automatically, and it was kind of the same thing with the feminism when the women were doing what they were doing before that. It was forced. It was being forced upon the people. And so there was a pressure there. And so it was the companies was being so open to it, and they were now getting privileges that you were not getting. For some reason, and the only reason it can be is because Satan was inspiring it. Yes, Satan was inspiring those things, and so it went right into the schools, it went right into the jobs, it went right into the work atmosphere and all of that. All of those things were pushed in there. And so now you could even see it now. You begin seeing it everywhere you went. It becomes so common. And so those spirits, I honestly believe that's those spirits that was let out in the last day. When the spirit of Satan was let out. Brother Branham said, when the fullness of the word comes, there then you see the fullness of the devil doing the same thing. When in every age God's adding some more of the word, there's Satan adding some more. More deception. And in this day we get the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of the word, God doing the whole thing. So Satan is coming incarnate. That's the promise. Amen. That Satan will be incarnate, and that whole thing, it just comes to its fullness. It comes to the climax of the whole thing. Amen. And so where we are so blessed is that we recognize it. You know, I know that when this transgender stuff 5 years ago, 6 years ago, during that time when they were going crazy, and even when the Black Lives Matter started and those things, it wasn't about that group that started that did not care about black lives.
That's right.
If they cared about black lives, then that's what they would have been taking care of. Yes. Because they were promoting the destruction of cities and the destruction, and you look, just it's been coming up now. Just take in Nigeria alone, I think maybe 100,000 Christians have been killed.
Right.
They're black,
right.
And nobody's saying anything. Where's the Black Lives Matters? Where are they at now?
Yes,
where are they at when they're in need? And there's needs in this country,
yep.
But they took in millions and millions of dollars. But the poor, needy blacks, they didn't get it.
Nope.
It went to those at the top. That one woman who was the head of it for a little while, she all of a sudden, she had two or three mansions.
Yep.
Spent millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
Did they care?
No.
That what they did is just promote destruction, destruction, destruction. And they're killing more of each other.
Right.
16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. See, and that's the thing. And that's the difference in the body of Christ and the body of the church.
Right.
Because we're not going to take over one another's position. If you are a Christian, and you were born in this world a woman, then when somebody sees you, they're going to see Christ.
Amen.
But you know how they're going to see Christ? They're going to see Christ. They're going to see the feminine part of Christ.
Yes, sir.
They're not going to see the masculine part of Christ.
Right.
Because they're looking at that part of the body that is feminine.
Amen.
And so they're still going to see Christ. But when they see Christ, they're going to see the feminine side.
Yes, sir.
When they see a man, they're going to see the masculine side.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see a minister, they're going to see a minister of Christ.
Yes, sir.
They're going to see Christ in that position that God has ordained them for.
Amen.
Whatever your position is. You're not all the same. All you sisters, you all are the feminine, but at the same time, you have different positions. You have different jobs. You have different things. You have different husbands and families and family sizes and all of that. All of those things.
Amen.
Every bit of it. And you are going to live Christ in that position that He's put you in.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to live somebody else's position or somebody else's life or somebody else's personality. It's going to be Christ in you manifesting the word of the age.
Amen.
In your home, in your family, on your job.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to take one another's place.
Right.
And when you're in Christ, you don't have that desire. That's my point.
Yes, sir.
You don't have that desire.
Yep. That's right.
I'm not trying to take over one of these brothers, what God give them or what, you know. It, usually when you find somebody get that spirit, they just want the blessing part.
Yeah.
They just want the blessing. They don't want the work. They don't want the pain. They don't want the struggle. They don't want that. They just want the, oh, he got blessed. I want that blessing. No. What happens with the Christian is when Brother Gumba gets blessed or Brother Michael gets blessed, I rejoice.
Amen.
Not get jealous. I rejoice in what God has blessed them in.
Right.
Huh? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's why he said when one is suffering, we're all suffering.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's not talking about feeling pain.
Right.
He's talking about compassion.
Amen.
He's talking about going in that valley with your brother or with your sister.
Amen.
But now, verse 18, but now had God set the members of every one of them in the body as it has pleased him.
Amen.
Praise God. And we see that. That's always, I repeat this over and over, that we are blessed to be able to recognize it today, to be able to recognize the body, to be able to recognize the head, to be able to recognize the word when it was in its infancy, to recognize the body when it was in its middle, when it was up here, when it was the tongues, all the way through now, we can recognize what it was in every stage and know now that it's in its fullness.
Yes, sir.
What a blessed people that we are.
That's right.
When you can come to that full understanding. 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Huh? What if you just, everything's trying to be the eye or everything's trying to be the mouth? That would be a good one. Could you get that sometime? Everyone wants to talk at the same time. Huh? It can't be.
Right.
It can't be. But now are they many members, yet but one body.
Right.
Is that right?
Amen.
Many members, one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. See? Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary.
That's right.
Praise be to God. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. See? And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And that's how God is. That's how God treats the body.
Right.
Some people have it made. And some people are just like unknown. God knows how to lift up each one.
Yes, sir.
In his time.
Right.
For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. You know what? You know that word, tempered. And they use it in metal, when they're tempering metal, to make it stronger or make it weaker, whatever they want it to be. And there's a word there, and I don't know that I can say it. Elasticity. I'm not getting it just right, but I'm almost there. So, but it makes it, yeah, it makes it, some metal they want to flex.
That,
there's reasons for it in building and different things. They want that metal to be able to flex a little bit and come back. It's like an airplane. An airplane's an example. So, that airplane, if it was rigid, you're sat by the window on an airplane and you watch that wing and you watch it as bow. I mean, it's not just straight like that and then moving a little bit from the main body, but that thing's actually in itself is flexing all the way from there to there.
Right.
And if they made that thing rigid, it'd break off.
Yes, sir.
But because they make it where it can flex is the reason it can withstand the pressure that it stands.
Amen.
But there's other metals, other situations where they make steel beams. They make steel beams for houses and buildings and stuff, and they're very rigid. They cannot flex at all. If they flex, and I had a contractor one time that was misled by somebody working for him, and he took this massive steel beam. It was almost as long as this home, and it went through the garage, a three-car garage, and all through the house. And this guy told him, he said, you don't need this heavy of a beam. He said, you can get by with a much... He said, I can save you $1,500. That was the number, $1,500. It cost this contractor about $150,000, and he never got it fixed. He never got it fixed because that beam was just a little bit too small. And so when that one winter, we had ice storms and snowstorms, and all of that weight built up on the house, and that beam flexed a quarter inch, just a quarter inch. It opened cracks in the brick. It opened the drywall. It opened all the way across the house, and the outside of the house had frozen from the freezing rain. And so it always, you know, the snow all on the roof always melts from underneath first. And so that heat that's there coming from the house. And so this thing was melting the ice from the inside, and the inside of the house was like a waterfall running down. Huh? He saved $1,500. A year and a half later, $150,000 later. What do you think he thought about that $1,500? Those guys are the people that taught me. And when an engineer, and these are engineers, this contractor was an engineer, and he hired an engineer. And the guy who told him to save him money was going to be an engineer. And so I used a few steel beams, a good many steel beams, but mostly wood. And so when they would tell me one size, I would go to the next size. And I'm talking about the engineer. The engineer said, you need a 12-inch beam. I'd use a 14-inch beam. It's not going to never come back on me. And I've always told my help, I said, listen, the people are paying you right now. They might complain about what they're paying you, but they're paying you right now. Next year, when you come back to fix your mistake, they're not paying you.
That's right.
You're here for free. I said, they're going to pay right now. They might even say, oh, that's overkill. You don't need that. But they're still paying for it. But if I do that next year and something goes wrong and I say, well, the engineer said I only need 12, and I put 14. So who are they going to go to then?
Right.
See, that there should be, let's read that again. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
Amen.
That's right. So I looked up that word schism, and it's a split or division. See, between strongly opposed sections or parties caused by differences in opinion or belief. And we know that the church is full of that. We know the message is full of that. And so we don't want that. We don't want it in the church. We don't want it in the body. We don't want it among brothers and sisters. We want one thing, and that's for to be our part, our position in Him. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, see? And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? See, we all have the gifts of healing. Have, it's a question. Have all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? See, and I'm going to read that because I was telling somebody, was it you on Sunday? Were we talking about that? I was talking to somebody on Sunday, and we were talking about this. And the scripture here is saying it in a question form. And of course, we know that the King James is Old English. And so But it's asking it in a question. But it's not a question. You can say, well, no, it's easy to answer. Are all apostles? No, all aren't apostles. Are all prophets? No, all aren't apostles. They're not all teachers and all this. And then the tongues and the gifts and the healing and all those things. But I want to just read it to you. Because it's not asking a question, it's answering a question. So this is where about verse 28. This is the original Greek in the Diaglot. This is direct translation from Greek to English. And those whom God placed in the congregation are first apostles, are second prophets, are third teachers, next powers, then gifts of cures, assistants, directors, different languages. All are not apostles. Is that a question? Was that a question? That was a question. This is not a question. All are not apostles. All are not prophets. All are not teachers. All are not powers. All have not gifts of cures. All do not speak in different languages. And all do not interpret it. Amen. But covet earnestly, if I got it right, is it verse 31? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Praise be to God. Okay. Now I'm going to go in the message handwriting on the wall, and this is going to take us back just a minute for a moment, and then it'll bring us right back up. So paragraph 11. Now notice now. That has to come. The Bible said it would be there, and there's no way to stop it. That's right. But it's a confederation. And I looked up that word, and he's talking about the confederation of churches and those things that were building and being put together. I mentioned on Sunday, I had the some of the history there. I didn't read it, but I just got ahead of myself and was quoting some of those things, talking about the churches. And so this is two words we're just going to get the definition of, okay? So one is confederation, and that's an organization which consists of a number of parties or groups united in an allegiance or a league, okay? So it's many different groups that are united together in allegiance to an organization. So we know that we can put that in the political arena, we can put that in the spiritual arena, in the churches, in the natural, that there's the, many groups that are in allegiance to a mother group, okay? And now, that's a confederation. Now, a federation is a group of states with a central government, and once again, this can be in the political arena, it can be in the natural arena, spiritual, speaking of churches. See, a group of states with a central government, but independence in internal affairs. So they can be under something, but they're independent in their own locality. So does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right. So now he's continuing on, same paragraph. Now Babylon finally winds up in the Roman Empire, as we all know. And the image of that power was made into a confederation of churches. And here we got both things right today, see? It's all a perversion. All right? What is it? It's a perversion. But God's church is not organized under any denominational head. No, it's organized under the headship of Almighty God. And this we know is a reality. This we know today because it's been revealed. The body has been revealed. All the way through, from the beginning to the ending, the body has been revealed. Amen. And the head has been revealed. And the head has joined itself to the body.
Yes, sir.
So we know that it's not a denominational head. We know it's not a man-made head. We know it's not theology that's moving the body of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But the body of Jesus Christ is moving by revelation.
Amen.
It's moving by the Spirit of God, which is living in Every member.
Yes, sir.
Every member of the body, Christ is there moving them.
Amen.
See, it's not under any denominational head. It's organized under the headship of Almighty God and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the church of the living God. It is not organized.
Amen.
It is in the body. See, it's not organized. It's baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God.
Amen.
That's the only way you can get in there, is to be baptized into it.
Right.
See, in that body made up, it's made up now of Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterian, and all together, that's come into Christ. Remember the call in the last age, that last angel, his message was, come out of her, my people. Come out. Come out of these organizations. Come out of these man-made systems. Come out of creeds and dogmas. Come out of all of those things and come into Christ.
Amen.
So it was twofold. Some people came out, but they didn't come in. But some came out and they came in.
Yes, sir.
So when they came into Christ now, though they were no longer Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, now they are bride. See? That's right. And these signs shall follow them that has come into Christ. That's what he said in Mark 16. Now, he's talking some on the Union Revivals, and then there's some there on the World Council of Churches. Let me skip over that. If you have, yeah, you do. So you just skip over that. See, it's just little differences of people's religion that keep them apart. But the real main evangelical fundamentals, they're all the same. See? And I like to see them when they'll be willing to agree with each other and have a revival. Now, there'll be a real revival. Okay? Now, he's been talking about, and we skipped over it for time, but he was talking about these union revivals. And so I went back in history and tried to find a good definition there. But it was the uniting time. That's what it was. We mentioned it on Sunday, that it was during this time when the prophet come on the scene, is when the World Council of Churches and the Confederation of the Churches was growing. It was in its infancy and it was beginning.
Amen.
And at the same time, the International Missionary Council, it joined ranks with the World Council of Churches and then started bringing the churches into it.
Yes.
Well, we find that the Catholic Church was the head of the whole thing, and it was bringing the daughters back. It was bringing the daughters back into it. And so we see that. But he says there'll be a real revival, okay?
Right.
Now, just like he said about Pentecost, they thought that Pentecost, Azusa Street, was the real revival. And Brother Branham said it wasn't.
Right.
He said it couldn't be because they were off the word.
Yes, sir.
Because they were teaching that tongues was the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And he said, that how could that be? And then he also said, how could that be it when the messenger had not come on the scene yet?
That's right.
Think about that.
Yes, sir.
Huh? So all that had to happen. All of that was in God's plan. All that anointing had to come forth. And so the Spirit was poured out just like the prophecy,
Amen.
Just like the Scripture said.
Yes, sir.
But yet there was a real thing coming. There was a real prophet coming. There was a real message that was coming.
Amen.
See? Now there'll be a real revival. And they're having union revivals. See? This is the uniting of the churches. This is the churches coming in union, coming in union. And see, it'll be in the Assemblies of God for 1 week, and then Foursquare for the next week, and the Church of God, and the Pentecostal Oneness the next week, and just keep moving like that around, and then, oh my, then that's wonderful to me. I think that's worth more than all the dot, dot, dot. That's a healing of the body of Christ. Huh? If what? If what? If they continue on in the revelation.
Yes.
Not if they stop right there where they're at.
Right.
Sure, this is all great. This was a wonderful thing. And this is, let's just get that year. Well, where's it at? I got to go a long ways back. Yeah, okay. 1958. So here, He's saying how wonderful this is. So you get over around 63 somewhere, and he said, you heard that some of the brother that was in the meetings with him, some of them that had been a part of the ministry and those things, and said how spiritual it was when the Pope came and was given the sacrament and doing those different things. And he said, don't you know what that is? Don't you know what that is? That's that union. That's that union. That's that thing that Satan is doing to the churches.
That's right.
That's that Antichrist spirit. That's that Antichrist uniting, coming together with him.
Amen.
See? See, that's a healing of the body of Christ. And that's the real divine healing, isn't it? When the body of Christ can, we can be brought together then, that's the real divine healing now. What? When the body is getting healing. When the body of Christ is getting healing. Not when the Methodists and the Baptists and the Pentecostals, but when they come out of that and they come into Christ, that's when. So I want to throw this scripture in here because he's talking about that healing. So Malachi 4 verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So then I wanted to follow that with this quote in Shalom, because he's talking about it. He identifies what it is and what it's not. So 163. Now the future, he holds it. When all the reflection of men's hearts desiring to live, and hospitals and doctors and operations and crying and grief, when will it all cease? To a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of shalom. When will it? I don't know. He said it will be there. I don't know how he's going to do it. But his spoken word will be a vindicated. Which word? The written word? The spoken word. The spoken word is the messenger of the age speaking the word of the age. That's the spoken word. That's God speaking his word.
Amen.
See? His spoken word will be a vindicated when the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And the healing part there will not be a physical healing as you think. As somebody's got a sickness and it'll be taken away from them. They're still looking for those things.
Yes,
they're still trying to get that where you could just walk in and everyone that's sick, you just speak it. You just speak it. You're sick, you're healed. Boom, it's gone. You're sick, it's gone. Boom. Do you see that anywhere in the Bible where everybody just gets healed like that? No. But the promise of healing is happening now.
Yes, sir.
Physical healing.
Right.
That's the gift that the prophet had. But it come exactly in the spirit that Christ displays his word and his promises.
Amen.
Jesus didn't go heal everybody.
That's right.
He in Elijah's day, he got one widow. Huh?
Right.
There were many. He got one.
Yep.
Those people at the pool of Bethesda, he healed one.
Right.
Over and over and over. How many blind people were? They healed that one that day. And the healing part there will not be a physical healing as you think, as somebody's got a sickness and it'll be taken away from them. That's what he's doing right now. Huh? That's what he's doing now in type of the spiritual. In the type of the spiritual healing. Think about that. See? The whole creature will be changed. This mortal will take on immortality. Praise be to God. This old age will jump into youth. Amen. Well, how will it be? I don't know. But it'll be there. It will be there. That's right.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Amen. So that it's eternal life. That healing is eternal life. That gift came for the physical healing.
Right.
But that healing in his wings that's eternal life. God's only provided a place of worship, paragraph 219. Now remember, he also added here and warns us another will come. A denomination, a creed,
another prophet, another theologian, another teacher, another this, another that. See? And they'll receive it. See, another will come. See? They'll come in their own name. And you will receive it. You won't receive me, the word vindicated and proved before you. Is that right? But they'll receive these great men, these great preachers. Let's read that again. You won't receive me, the word vindicated and proved before you, because God vindicates his word in every age. He proves his word in every age. As he was right then, so is he today. Don't you miss that. People across the nation, another will come, a church will come, and you'll believe that because you can just do any way you want to. See? Isn't that right? That's exactly why these big message churches are like they are. Because you can go there and you can do anything you want to. You just come, gather, you're going to hear a good message. You'll hear a great message. You'll just keep living just like you've been living. That's no different than any other denomination. Sister Amanda come walking up at the hospital the other day. And there was this guy with her. And I thought they were together. I thought he was coming there to see Brother Richard. And so I reckon he looked at me. He had long silver hair, long silver beard, just long. And so he looked at me and we looked at each other. And I said, hey, how are you doing? So he worked for me for years ago. He worked for me. And I had witnessed to him and invited him to church. And I don't know if did you remember him, Richie Rice? Yeah. So anyways, so he came to church and I was trying to tell him about the prophet, trying to tell him about these things. And they ended up getting upset because in the church there, if you come in chewing your gum, because Brother Branham condemned it very much as a very disrespectful thing, said to come in the church chewing their gum. And so one of the deacons asked him to spit their gum out. So I think it was the wife. I think it was his wife. And so after service, I'm talking to him outside, and they were really upset. And he's telling me that you know we didn't appreciate that. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I said it's just respect. And so I said, we don't eat and drink and chew gum and do all those things in there. This is a sacred time. We come to worship God, and we just want to give respect to God.
That's right.
And so just talk to him and so. Finally, the woman says, well, I'll be honest with you. When I was a little girl, I went to church with my grandma, and they wouldn't let us chew gum. And so I said, okay, so now you know, but now you're upset about it, but you already knew to give some respect, to just give some respect. And so, so we talk a little bit, and so he gives me his card, and so he's in the same ministry that he was in when we parted ways about 5 years ago. And it's a Santa Claus ministry. He's at Christmas time, he goes and to these malls and wherever he can go, he goes to churches, he goes everywhere. And so his hair, he's always looking like Santa Claus. And so, and I told him back then, I said, listen, I said, that's all wonderful. I said, you know, Christmas is a lie. I said, it's not even true. I said, that's not Christ's birthday. That's not, none of that's real.
Amen.
And I said, he said, but you don't know how many people are blessed by this ministry and how many people they're getting healed and they're coming to God and they're doing this and they're doing that. And I'm like, well, I said, that's all fine. I said, but if you're doing it with a lie, are you getting them to God? Can you get people to God with a lie? I don't think so. Because there's only one way in the scripture and only one way in the message.
That's right.
And that's by the word.
Yes, sir.
You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Yes, sir.
That's what's going to set you free.
Yep.
The lie is not going to set you free. The lie is going to deceive you and make you think you're saved when you're not.
That's right.
And so, anyways, we had a good little conversation there, and he's still in the same ministry, and it's just bigger and better than it ever was. And He changed his middle name to, I shouldn't be saying his name, but he's proud of it. And so, and he's a super nice guy. Let me just say that. He's a super nice guy. But he changed his middle name to Claus, you know, like Santa Claus. So it's Richie Claus. And ye shall know the truth.
That's right.
And the truth shall set you free. You're not going to be set free by anything else.
Amen.
So as long as Satan can deceive people into a lie, then they are not where they need to be.
That's right.
That's all I can say on that. So I found, he wasn't there to see Brother Richard. He was there to see somebody else. And so it was good to see him again after a long time. And so he's just really excited about his ministry and what God's doing through him. And so may the Lord bless him. Now, 2:20. As he was right then, so is he today. Don't you miss that, people across this nation. Another will come, a church, and you'll believe that. Because you can just do any way. See? I won't vindicate it. He's never, listen now, he's never at any time ever vindicated anything in any church outside of the message that was given. God, let me paraphrase, God has never at any time vindicated or proven anything in any church, in any theologian.
Right.
He has never vindicated anything outside of the message of the hour.
Amen.
That's the prophet.
That's right.
Never has he vindicated that. See, that's the reason why God vindicates the messenger. And God vindicates everything the messenger says.
Right.
You say, no, no, he don't. No, he does.
Yes, sir.
Because Moses did what he wasn't supposed to do.
Right.
He struck the rock again.
Yep.
And it was wrong.
Yep.
And we're taught that it's wrong.
Yep.
But did the water come out?
Yes, sir.
The water came out.
Right.
Because that was the voice of God. That man was standing in the place of God. And that man was speaking the words of God, and even in his own temper or his own whatever it was that was causing him to disobey God, God honored his word.
Right.
Because he was vindicated the voice of God.
Amen.
So nobody was ever going to come along and say, well, yeah, but God didn't do it that time, so it wasn't 100%. God did it every time.
Yes, sir.
William Branham said, of the tens of thousands of times,
right,
never once was it wrong. Never once did it miss.
Amen.
He said, I take to account anyone here, anyone in the world, the whole world, worldwide,
right,
one time that you was ever told anything, thus saith the Lord, and it didn't happen exactly like God said.
Right.
Yes, sir. He said, it's not there. You won't find it.
Amen.
He said, because God cannot be wrong. And because God, we see now and know now that God vindicates the voice.
Amen.
God vindicates the message for that age.
Yes, sir.
What was wrong with them back there? They couldn't see this.
Right.
So they could turn it down all they wanted to. Luther could smoke his cigarettes and he could drink his beer.
Yep. Huh? Right.
And not only be a Christian, he was the messenger. That's what I love about it, Brother Gumar. He was the messenger to the age.
Yes, sir.
That just blows the carnal minds. Just right. Just gets them all messed up. They look back there and they think, no, it was coming. It was building. They could only move on what they had.
Amen.
Only could move on what they had. We were the same way in the Southern Church age.
Yes,
but as we kept coming through this message, where were you going? You were coming up all the time. You were being raptured up higher and higher and higher. Even right now, we're being raptured. Right now, we're caught up in this revelation. And the revelation is taking us higher in Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's doing. It's just taking you into a higher understanding, a greater closeness to God, a greater revelation of this whole thing.
Amen.
See? I won't vindicate it. He's never at any time ever vindicated anything in any church outside the message that was given. Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecostal, restoration of the gifts, see? And as soon as they made a denomination out of it, there it died. You search the scriptures. There it died right there, every time, anytime.
Yes,
if we sat down right now and we denominate and we say, no, I'm not talking about going and getting a charter and making it legal with the government. I'm not talking about that.
That's right.
I'm just talking about we make our little doctrine. And we say, this is what the prophet said. And we have our quotes.
Yeah.
And we say, this is it. And what do they call that? Full stop. Yeah. Full stop. Right there. That's your denomination.
Yes, sir.
Brother Ram said it only takes one person. Only one person for a denomination.
That's right.
It's when you denominate on your idea. How many times have you heard Brother Goomba stand here and preach and say, this is what I see, but I'm open.
Right.
I'm open.
Right.
If God can show me something more, God let me see something more.
Right.
Always ready to go further.
Yes.
Not stopping. That's what happened to the Pentecostals.
Yes.
That's what happened to the Methodists. That's what happened to the Baptists.
Yes.
They drew the line and said, now this is our doctrine. I had a man just here before they got this big church over here. When Brother Brumley passed away, the man who was taken over there, I talked to him at the funeral, and I said, God bless you, brother. I said, I'm praying for you. I know you got a big job. I said, this is a big job that you're taking over. And he said, and he just looked at me because he knew where I went to church, and it's like he wanted to push back. I was trying to just tell him I was praying for him. I just was just letting him know I felt for him because I knew how a big place that he had. And so he said, yes, but the doctrine is already established. And I thought, you know, that sounded good carnally, but spiritually, it didn't sound good to me at all.
Right, right.
It sounded like we got it all. And we don't need anything else.
Yep.
And then I don't know that he ever got to even pastor. I think the first time he went to the pulpit, he stumbled and fell. And about her, I don't know how many times he ministered, but after that, it wasn't long, and he was health problems and troubles. And I really felt for him then. But I knew his sons, and was close to one or two of them, and I was sincere when I told him that I was praying for him because I always feared being a pastor. I never wanted that position. It's a big responsibility.
Yes, sir.
It's a big responsibility. But every one of us have that responsibility to God.
Amen.
Every one of us have the same responsibility to God. But there's just something there that Satan is always on your back. He's always, it's just a battle. It's always being fought. But God helps us. He just helps us. And we thank him for that. 2:21. But he said, I'll choose the place to put my name. And the name was Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. St. John 1. You see the simplicity. He just makes it simple. And people can take this right here and make it deep and dark and mysterious, and take it somewhere over there, somewhere until where you don't think you'll ever know what it is. But he just takes it, it's the Word. It's just the Word. It's the Word.
Right.
And where's the Word? It's in you.
Amen.
Now, if it's in you, then nobody can take it over there and hide it in
That's
darkness
right.
and this mysterious mystery, and you're just wondering what it is. No.
Amen.
It's in here. It's right there.
Yes, sir.
Where's the kingdom of God at? It's right there.
Amen.
It's right there. That's... You know, we have our moments of battle and weakness, and we think, we don't know. But sometimes we have those moments, too, that are powerful.
Yes.
And we know, I'm a son of God.
That's right.
I'm a daughter of God.
Amen.
this thing is living in me.
Amen.
And wherever I go in the whole world,
right.
He's the light.
Yes, sir.
He's the one shining. It's not me. I know it's not me, but I know that He's there. And I know that He's leading. I know that He's guiding. I know that God is doing this thing.
Amen.
That's right. And that's what one day is going to make you step out of this body.
That's right.
Because that thing is going to be so powerful one day. That's why this flesh has to keep some weakness there, keep some weakness there.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But one day, this revelation is going to grow so much. This rapture is going to take you out of this body. It's going to separate you. And what's going to happen? It's going to die.
That's right.
Brother Goomba's really labored on that. And that's been an argument. And that hasn't been just an argument, brother, for the last 5 years or 10 years. That's the argument way back. And you've nailed it. And some of those people never have seen it. They've never seen it. They've never accepted it. They still, I seen it on one of the groups the other day. They still think that this is going in. It can't.
Right.
Not in this kingdom, because right. The word says it can't and that it won't.
Right.
See, Jesus is the word, St. John 1, is that right? That's the place of worship. In Christ, the word, I come in my Father's name. The prophet said, His name shall be called Emmanuel. That's Matthew 1:23. See? Now, if you want to write it down, see, in the fifth verse, shows that He's the door. By now, many other invisible proofs, so in this gate, this name, and place, see, can be proved to be there's only one place that God meets man to worship. Think about it. Only one place. And remember, we have a prophecy from 2,000 years ago that there was coming a day. He told that woman at the well. He was talking, God in flesh was talking to a daughter of God.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah. That woman at the well was a daughter of God. She had the seed of God in her. And He said, the true worshipers, God seeks those to worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes, sir.
That's what He's seeking. That's what He wanted. That's what He was working on all the time.
Amen.
All the time. Bringing that to a climax.
Yes, sir.
See? And that's... there's only one place that God meets a man to worship, and that's when He's in Christ. Praise be to God. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians. And now, I know our time is here, but let me just get another minute or two. Now, the question is, how do we get in Him? Now, this may pinch a little bit, but you know, like taking medicine, if it don't make you sick, then it don't do you no good. See? And now the Lutherans wanted to get in one way, by joining the Lutheran Church. And the Methodists wanted to get in by shouting. And the Pentecostals wanted to get in by speaking in tongues. That still ain't it. See? No, that's gifts. So forth. But 1 Corinthians 12 says, by one Spirit. See? The Spirit of God, which is the life giver to the word,
Amen.
The seed.
Yes,
sir. See? To do what? To vindicate that seed for that season.
Amen.
Praise be to God. That's right. See? And that's what the Spirit's going to do. That's what the Spirit has done in every age, in every day, when it came on that chosen vessel of the day, of the age. The Spirit of God, would come find those seed, and then He would quicken that seed in there, and they would manifest the word of the age.
Amen.
That's what Abraham did. Everything that you've seen Abraham do, God was quickening that seed in him, quickening to believe the word of that day.
Yes, sir.
He didn't fail. When it was the impossible, when He told him that, He said, your wife, Sarah, is going to have a son, and then made him wait 25 years? Huh?
Yeah.
And the scripture says he didn't doubt it?
That's right. Amen.
What if God give you a promise like that today?
Right.
How many? Are we going to make it? People can't make it 25 days.
Yep.
And Abraham made it 25 years. You know why he made it 25 years? Because he was anointed.
Yes.
It was the anointed word of the age.
Yes, sir.
That's why he waited 25 years. That's why he believed it 25 years.
Amen.
It was the anointed word of the age.
Yes, sir.
And that's the reason that you can believe this message 100%.
Amen.
And it don't matter how many churches, how many people turn against it, don't want nothing to do with it, don't believe it, say that you're crazy. Say, you say you're in the air? You're in the air? Huh? The Bible says you're raptured in the air. You're in the air? I see you.
Amen.
I've heard him laughing. I've heard him walking out of the church laughing. I remember, even in Kenya one time, there was two, and they were preacher's wives. They were walking out, and they were just giggling, and I was just standing there, and these two sisters come by, and I know who they are. And so they're saying, we're in the air. We're in the air. I thought, you're not. I am.
Right. Amen.
No, you can't laugh about it. Right. No. It's got to be, it's a revelation.
Amen.
It's a revelation. And it's a revelation, and Paul imparted a piece of it to his people.
Yes, sir.
And he said, he told them, he said, you have been translated.
Right.
You, the people sitting there, mm-hmm. had been translated into the kingdom,
yes, sir.
Of his dear son.
Right.
2,000 years ago, they were being translated.
Yes, sir.
They were being caught up in the revelation of their day. Not this day, not this revelation. It hadn't come yet. No, it hadn't matured into this yet. But it was coming. But they were caught up in the revelation of their day. And it brought them into the same kingdom.
Right.
Huh? It brought them into the kingdom of God. Praise God. This is not a carnal thing. That's what happened 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was bringing us out of the natural into the spiritual.
Yes, sir.
And they didn't want to come. They wanted to stay there. And as he was bringing us into it, they were trying to stay there, and the churches kept staying there, and all these different ideas. And 2,000 years later, they're still right there in the natural.
Yes, sir.
They don't want the spiritual.
Right.
See? Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit, the Spirit of God, which is the life giver to the Word, the seed, to vindicate that seed for that season. See?
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to God. Here's the Methodist age seed laying there. It taken the Holy Spirit to make that seed come to life. See? Purify the church. Is that right? The church by sanctification. That was Wesley's day. See? That's where the Methodists come from. See? They come, they started, the seed was quickened, they began believing, and well, there was a fire, there was a revival, went around the world. God was moving. God was doing something. It was called the age of brotherly love. People were sacrificing their life, sacrificing their livelihood, sacrificing everything to take this gospel around the world.
Amen.
See? Luther didn't preach that. No, Luther didn't preach sanctification. Because he didn't know it. Because it hadn't been revealed. It hadn't come.
Right.
But you say they had the Bible. That's right. But that's not how it was coming. It was coming by the teacher.
Yes.
And the teacher is the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And the Spirit had to come and quicken the Bible.
That's right.
That's why you just, when you see the people back there saying, I believe the Bible, I believe the Bible, I believe the Bible, you think that's a noble cause, that's a noble effort. But they have got to meet Christ.
Amen.
And without Christ, they will never know what this Bible says.
That's right.
Until they are born by the word of the age.
Yes, sir.
That means that messenger that God sent in your day, you must hear him. You must know him. I told a brother on the groups today, since they started these new groups, I guess y'all have seen them, about three or four of them, some of them 400 members, some 500 members, some 1,000 members. I don't know who's doing it, but they're just throwing these all this together. And so people are asking for different things. And so I asked one brother about the message. I said, brother, do you know the message? And he said, well, I don't know anything about no message. I said, do you know the prophet? He didn't know anything. His number is Uganda. And I'm like, I thought all these people being thrown in these groups was message people. And so apparently it's a big, just people are gathering names from everywhere they can get them. And so I just told him, I said, brother, you must hear the voice of God for this day. You must hear the message. I said, just as every messenger came and revealed something in the scripture that had been hidden from the foundation of the world, I said, you must hear this. I said, because it had never been known. It's just for this last day. And this last day bride is here. See, each one declares, that's it, that's it. So that's what happened when Luther left. That's what happened when Wesley left. That's what happened with the Pentecostals. Each one declares, this is it, this is it, this is it. And now, what are the message churches doing? This is it. We have it. We have it. And it amazes me, and I'm not hearing so much of it right now, but you take several years ago, it was amazing to me how many preachers believed that they were the only one. And it was not one preacher. In this area alone, I think there was at least three in this area here, 20 miles, something like that, that if you left and went to another church, you were lost. If you didn't believe what they were teaching, you were lost. And then you had it on the groups. You had it out there in different countries.
Yes, sir.
Yep. One more. We'll close with this. 2:27. But by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. And that body is a family. The family of God. And that's the house of God. And the house of God is the name of Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. And the righteous run into it and are safe.
Amen.
Praise be to God. We're going to leave it right there. And we'll pick it up on Sunday. So we'll ask you to stand together with us. And we're going to ask Brother Goomba to come. And I want to say I really appreciate Brother Goomba. And as I said a while ago about those things that he brought on that, the flesh not going in, that's helped people. Because that's helped a lot of people because not much has been said about it. Not many people have taught on that. Very little. And then I've heard so many good comments on the things you just brought while I was away, how it helped them so much. So much. And so God bless you. Amen. Appreciate you. God bless you.
That was good. Yeah, we have few, but it's not about the quantity, it's about quality. It was good. It was very good. Yeah, we thank the Lord for that. That is very, very important to understand that the message of the hour is what the message of the hour is what saves everybody. Everybody is saved by the message of the hour. The people are saved by the message of the hour. Mm-hmm. And that is what God, you cannot be saved. Anybody who is going to be saved is going to be saved because in the message of the hour, he really, let's say people think that there are some people who are going to be saved because they didn't believe the message like Nicodemus. Like that. But he did something in that hour that helped in the message of the hour. He helped the message, he helped the believers of the message of that hour. It is about the message of the hour. That's very important.
Yes.
People think you can, Brother Donas, you can take this Bible and think that you know it. You don't know it. You can never know it. You can never know it. You can never know it. Like Luther, he was drinking. He didn't know. And he said very well. He was the messenger of the age.
Amen.
But he could not preach Wesley's message. He could not. He didn't know it. He didn't know Brother Brown. He didn't know that. He didn't know that. That could not help them. And I'll say this. Let me say this. The seed that is in here, you ask me a quote, maybe I can give. the seed that is in here, in the man of every age, in the bride of every age, is the message of the age, and this is the same.
Yes.
That's why I hear it.
Yes.
That's why when it's preached, it calls you.
Yes.
The names are called. That's why it calls you. Because what is here and what's being preached in the age that you are living in is the same. So that's what you hear and you come, and that's what's here. Praise with God. That's right. That's right. Father, we thank you for feeding us. And Lord, like children, when they have a good meal, they're happy, Father. We are like that, Lord God, around your table, Lord God. And Father, you feeding us. We are so thankful, Father, about that. Lord, we are happy of the encouragement you're giving, Lord, because hearing Brother Richard, Lord, and the way you're moving with him, Lord, that's quite an encouragement, Lord, telling us, Father, that you're still with us, Father, and when we call, Lord God, you hear. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. We remember them, Father, we remember the wife, we remember her, Lord. Remember each one of us, Lord God, praying for him, Lord. And we know, Father, that you hear prayer. Thank you for all things that you've done to us. Go with every sister, encourage us, Lord. Encourage them, Lord God. Even as they study and pray at home, Lord God, be with them. Be with Sister Esther and the family there, Lord God. And everyone who's not been able to come, like every Lord, and them, Lord, bless them as you bless us, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Can I say one more thing? So I've been trying for some time now to go and get my mom. And so I'm going to go down Friday to Florida, pick her up, and drive back on Saturday. So we just ask your prayers for that quick journey. Yeah. Thank you. Amen. God bless you all.